you know, kind of trying to be careful, you know, because you don't know what's there. And he got to this one point, it was a dark area, and he was putting his flashlight in that crevice, and all of a sudden, this snake just came at him like this, this mouth wide open. He says that the hiss was like, like that, and this thing was angry. It was probably scared too that he found him, right? And he was balancing, so it was kind of a far drop, so he didn't really want to drop, and he had his flashlight. Then he was calling for his friends, you know, for the machete, and as they're trying to get the machete, you know, the snake, you know, got away and went in another area. But see, the light exposes darkness, and we even had that in our Bible study on Wednesday night, talking in Ephesians, talking about how that light exposes the darkness of our lives, and even when we walk as light, it exposes the darkness of the people around us. You know, that's light. Light just keeps penetrating. If it doesn't penetrate, it's not doing its job, right? So that's what we're looking at today in the Word. And our Lord and Savior, you know, how wonderful He is, and why isn't this moving? Here we are. So, yes, in John 8:12, and I'm sorry, that's a little small there, but Jesus just proclaimed, I am the light of the world. That's Jesus Himself. And the next there in John 3:19, you know, this is the problem, okay? And actually, my father-in-law usually refers to this to this little passage about, you know, things are going wrong, you know, or whatever. He says, well, it's because, you know, the verdict, you know, this is the verdict. And this is Jesus' words, okay? Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of the light because of their deeds were evil. And yes, I would have to readily agree with that today. So as we walk towards the cross these next 5 weeks together, we're going to be looking at this Lord and Savior of ours. Who is He? You know, what the ministry that He had? I mean, what happened? And we'll get a little bit of background on that too. And we're going to be looking, you know, as Christians, you know, we are called to walk in the light of Christ, okay? And what does that look like? You know, and we have to look at Jesus' ministry to see what that really looks like. And we're going to look at that today in the book of Luke in chapter 4. Comes pretty clear. We also might be going back a little bit into Isaiah as well, so I'll let you know when we do that. But there's three things that we're going to look at today with looking at Jesus' ministry. Ministry, He sought and taught. So we're going to look at that. We're going to also look at how He challenged unbelief and persevered. So we're looking at those three things. So of course, there's a lot more. You can go for days or months, if not a year or something, on just this passage. There's so much packed in it. It's because it's the Word of God. Before we start, let's lift this up to the Lord. Lord Jesus, again we come before You, thanking You that we can even come together to hear Your Word, the message that You have for us this morning. Your Word is beautiful. It is perfect. It is awesome. It's live and powerful. It's a double-edged sword that cuts deep, Lord. But Lord, cut us deep. Cut us deep where we need to be so we can expose that darkness of ours so we can draw closer to You. Lord Jesus, bless this message, we pray, that it won't be my words, but it's Your Spirit speaking through me, and that You will receive all the honor and glory, and that we will be able to take these things and apply them in our own daily walk with You. So thank You for this time. Bless it, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So how do we walk in the light of Christ? Well, we're going to be looking at that, what it looks like. So we can open up our Bibles to chapter 4 in Luke, and then we'll go into that together. And we're going to be looking at verse 14, and I'll I'll read this to you, 14 to 21 at first here. Jesus returned to Galilee. So this is after, remember, this is the time after Jesus went, he was baptized, and then he went into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't eat or drink anything. This was supernatural. He went out in the desert to meet with the Father, to get prepared. He was tempted by the enemy during that time. He did not fail. And now, after that, we're going to see what he's doing. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, he's saying what Isaiah was saying, God speaking through him, his prophecy, I'm it. I'm the one he's talking about. That's what he's saying there. He is the light of the world. All these wonderful things coming up. So first of all, he sought people. He was out in a desert. He didn't stay in a desert. Okay? He came back to his home province where he grew up. Okay, he wasn't born there, but he grew up there. And he sought people. And it sounds, and if we went to the book of John and looked a little bit more, we'll see a little bit more that he was moving around a lot of different areas, visiting synagogues in different cities in that province of Galilee. And what he did was seeking people. You know, that was his ministry. And he went through the whole countryside, and he was teaching in the synagogues powerfully, wonderfully. In fact, if we went on to look at verses 31 to 37, we can kind of see a little bit about that. He says, then he went to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath began to teach the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. He really knew what he was talking about. And not only was he talking about it, but he was able to live it before him. And not only that, but we're going to see a little bit more here as we go on to verse 33. In a synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Ha! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet." Jesus said sternly, "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What is this teaching? With authority and power, he gives orders to evil spirits and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. He backed it up. Not only did he talk it and speak about it, but his life just oozed out with the power and authority of God's word. Wonderful. That's what he did. That's part of his ministry. People were the most important part of Jesus' ministry. He knew what state we were in. We needed help. This light came in as a little baby into this dark, dark, dark world of hate and violence and the enemy destroying, trying his best to destroy every work that God did. That's his plan. All right? That's the enemy's plan, to destroy everything God did, including us. And he does a pretty good job, doesn't he? When we look at our lives of the people around us, that's a pretty good job. But this little baby came in, and that, like a little candle, and then this candle started growing brighter, and that light is just penetrating the darkness now. And as he's doing that, as we see, people start to stir. You know, he's doing these things. He's teaching these powerful words. He's saying, I am the man. I'm the one that they're talking about. These prophets are talking about. I am the one that's going to bring this healing and this freedom and this comfort and this restoration, this reconciliation. And then he backs it up with power, and everybody's just going, whoa, what is going on here? The whole area was being stirred. This light was penetrating their darkness for the first time in hundreds of years. Amazing. And nobody's ever really seen the light like this before. Nobody. So in our own lives, yeah, we can learn something about this, right? We should be seeking people and ready to teach people or share our testimonies with them and just allow the Word of God to speak through us and our lives, even being a light amongst our family and friends and co-workers and classmates and everybody around us. You know, as we walk in the light of Christ, our love, our words, our very attitudes and actions should be known, and people should be going, whoa, you know, this guy. You know, I had a friend back in California, and he just came out of a lot of drugs and alcohol. And God did something to him and turned him around and saved him. But his friends kept on saying, hey, come. The bar is here. Or we're going to go out in this area and, you know, do this and that, you know. But he just said, no, I can't do that anymore, guys. They are angry with him, okay, because he used to be like them. But now his life changed so much. That light that was coming out from him, he wasn't judging or anything. He was just told him, hey, can't do it anymore, guys. But they're you know what they're mad at? They're mad that his light, the light that was shining through him, was exposing their darkness. And just like that verse says, man doesn't like that. We like darkness. We like our evil deeds to be hidden. But when they're exposed, people get angry at you. Yes, I'm sure you've come up against that in your own lives, praying or talking to somebody about Jesus, or even in your own life, and they're kind of going, oh, yeah, get out of here, type of thing. If your life changed that much, just like this young man's life did, it's a powerful testimony. Nobody can refute it. So that's the way we're supposed to live. That the light of Christ, not us, but the light of Christ will shine so brightly that it will expose not only our own darkness that we have to deal with in our own lives, but it also expose the darkness of the people around us. So in hopes that they will, that their hearts will be opened, that God will perform a miracle, a grace, salvation miracle in their lives as well. So, stirring just that little candle, right? Growing up to be a great light. Next, we see Jesus challenging unbelief. If we read from 22, verse 22 there, keep on going down here, it says, all spoke well of him. Okay? All spoke well of him. Oops, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to move through this here. We don't need to talk about that today. watching the time as well. All spoke well of Jesus. And then what here says, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. And then something happened. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. Something happened there. I don't know what, but something happened in their hearts and their lives and their minds or whatever when they're listening and watching. Remember how intently when Jesus read that and they were just waiting for him to say something. And then when he said, I am the one, you know, they were kind of going, yeah, this guy's all right. But then all of a sudden, something started sneaking in, sprouting up in their hearts and their minds, and we're asking questions. Isn't this Joseph's son? You know what that's called? Unbelief. Okay, the unbelief. They just couldn't believe that this guy that they saw grow up as a little boy running around and growing up in their, amongst their own community there could be the Messiah. Unbelief cropped up. There was just before that, they were all happy and going, yeah, this guy is great. And then all of a sudden, no, don't believe this. He can't be the Messiah. We know this guy. Unbelief is it's tough. You know, it's one of that's got Adam and Eve in trouble in the garden, right? That unbelief of God's word, unbelief that Jesus was the Messiah. And Jesus, you know, he didn't shrink away from this unbelief, but you know what he did? He went right for it. And he gave them two examples here. You know, one of them, he's talking about Elijah during a time of, I think it was a famine going on there. Oh, he was there in verse 25, I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, not into anybody in Israel, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. So what he's saying is, because of the unbelief of the Israelites at that time, God did not send Elijah to somebody in Israel. But he sent him to a Gentile. He's getting pretty tough on him, okay? But he's seeking the truth. This is what happened. And this light is starting to expose their darkness of their unbelief. It's not comfortable. And next, Jesus moves ahead a little bit further. He says, hey, do you remember this guy named Elisha? He says, and there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha and the prophet, yet no one, not one of them was cleansed. Only Naaman the Syrian. Naaman, the Gentile. He's the only one that he healed. No, not one Israelite from that was a leper got healed. That's really hits them. So, you know, that really causes the people were furious with Jesus, okay? They're saying, your unbelief, and these you had these great prophets, they couldn't even go to Israel because of your unbelief. And they were furious to have their unbelief exposed because they were now doubting that Jesus was the Messiah. They were not believing in that. In Ephesians 5:13, it says this, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Their unbelief, disobedience, whatever else it is, will be exposed. In Hebrews, it says this, in Hebrews 3:12, I'll just read this to you. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. See, unbelief is what turns us away from the living God. And in Hebrews 3:19 it says, So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. God was talking about rest, enter His kingdom. And these people were not able to enter because of unbelief. So Jesus, this Lamb of God, it's also the Lion of Judah, He hit this unbelief head on with the truth set before them. And you know what? Praise the Lord, Jesus is not afraid to bloody our noses sometimes to get down on us. Not to get down, but really to hit us hard. He's not afraid to hurt us. He's hurting these guys. He's not afraid to do that in hopes of turning us to the light. And a lot of times, I know in my life, I praise the Lord for some of those people that knocked me straight. I was going the wrong path. Sometimes I needed to get knocked down in some way to help me realize I am not God. I am not all powerful. I am not good enough, smart enough, strong enough to deal with this. And God was able to use that and speak into my life and from other people, from Christians, to help me get on the right path. Out of that dark little selfish world of mine into the light of Christ. It hurt. It took a long journey. And I wasted a lot of time in that, but God did that for me. I finally listened to Him and turned and followed Him. My unbelief was exposed, and by God's grace, He led me to His truth, and my heart was ready to receive it. You know, for us, we should be like this man in the book of Mark, who Jesus just healed his son. Or is going to heal his son, and he's going, oh, Jesus, you know, Jesus said, do you really believe this? And he's going, I do believe. Help me to overcome my unbelief. This guy was fighting it, okay? We all fight it. We cannot deny it. There's times we walk in our lives and something hits us, or finances get big problems, or there's sicknesses or just problems in the family or job or whatever it is, and that unbelief just crops in. No way, Jesus. You can't help me. I can't trust in You, Jesus. No. Nope, You're not God. Yeah, I'll raise my hand, yeah. I've been there. There's a lot of times when something crops up. When we came back from Thailand, there's a lot of unbelief going on. Where are You sending us? Why did You take us off the field, Lord Jesus? Had to work through that. Through a lot of prayer and a lot of time in the Word, and God provided all we needed. I tell you, He provided miraculously. Living in California, with only about a couple $1,000s coming in for income, you live in California, $2,000 goes by in a half a week, pretty much, when you pay for your health benefits and your rent and your food and your gas and all the other things. $2,000 is just pocket change. You know, but God brought us through that and provide us this little safe havens. Even like in Canada, we stayed with Joy's brother on the farm for 2 months while we're waiting. That's the God that I can trust in. And why I don't believe in sometimes that He knows what's best for me, that's my problem. You know, that's what I'm working out with God. But what I'm encouraging you is let God expose our unbelief. Expose it in your hearts too. And just bring it to Him. Say, why aren't I believing You for this? Just give it to him. Talk with him. Get into the word with him and see how he speaks and just trust in him. He is faithful to all of his promises. So we are to follow him, to live by faith and not by sight. And talking about that scripture there with the man talking. And one last thing we look at here is in verse 30. It says this. Well, I'll read 28 to 30 here. It says, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the on the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. They wanted to take their Messiah. They didn't believe that he was. They wanted to throw him off that cliff. He hurt them. But you know what happened? But he, Jesus, walked right through the crowd and went on his way. See, Jesus had this focus. He knew what his mission was and he was going to complete it. He was not going to allow darkness or unbelief to snuff out his light. He was going to keep on going. These guys weren't ready for it. They weren't ready to believe. I'm moving on. He went to Capernaum and taught there. And he kept on going to all those other provinces around Israel and going to Samaria and all these other areas too where he was preaching the good news. He was giving everybody an opportunity. And you know what Jesus did also in that time? He didn't do it alone. He had a lot of people tagging along. See, Jesus rarely did anything alone except for pray. And that's just because the disciples had no clue what prayer was. They didn't know why he was going off. Well, he was talking to the Father, the one with the plan, telling him what's going on next. That's what it was. But they didn't understand that yet. But after a while, they kept it because you see in Acts, we saw what they were doing. They were praying. They finally understood what was going on, how important that was to communicate with the Father, right? About prayer, coming together and praying and talking and communicating and hearing God's voice and just worshiping Him and honoring Him together. You know, that's what Christ did. He trained people. He built people. Getting them ready. Even though they were still doubting, even when he was going up into heaven, ascending, there were still some people doubting, but that didn't stop him from leaving. Because he knew the Spirit, the Holy Spirit was going to be there to continue to guide it. And this little church that started in Jerusalem has spread where? Pretty much all the way around the world. If you look at like the little statistics here about just the CNMA church, and there's like, I think it was 2 million people outside of the U.S. that are worshiping Christ in CNMA churches. More than us. There's much more. There's not that many here. You have to look at those statistics a little bit more that I have on the door. It's awesome. That little light spread throughout the world. And it's in desert areas. It's in Iraq. It's in Africa, in the dark, deep, dark areas. It's in New Guinea where people went there and people were cannibals eating one another. That's the light of Christ. That's our Lord and Savior moving through us, through our lives, and powerfully impacting regions and lives around the world. That's the one we believe in. It is happening. It is real. God is alive, all-powerful. Let's not forget that in our own walk day to day. God has something for us to do, to continue to pray, to continue to witness, to draw closer to Him, to encourage, to stand firm. Because you know what? The enemy is ferocious like that lion. He doesn't stop. But you know what? God is greater. He shuts the lion's mouth. But we got to be His people, His instruments, in order to shut that lion's mouth in the city of Bryan and all the, and Edgerton and Stryker and West Unity and Montpelier and Defiance, all those places, shut it. But it takes, we got to get serious. It takes a serious walk. It takes serious effort to do that. It takes getting uncomfortable, taking time to, on Wednesday nights, to go for the great Bible study that we have, the wonderful fellowship that we have together there, a time in the Word, time of prayer, time of just fellowship, time of getting connected. That's important. If you're not involved in a Bible study, please come Wednesday night at 6:30 right here. If you do, praise the Lord, keep it up. Keep learning. If you're not involved in any type of prayer group, I encourage you, get praying. Because the enemy laughs at us when he sees us doing this, running and doing this and that. But he knows that it all depends on this. And there's only one person that can open up the heart, and that's the Holy Spirit. No beautiful words, no money, no whatever is going to open anybody's heart. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is through prayer, because you need to work against the enemy's darkness that's behind the scenes and working in the lives of all these people around us who have lost the way. It takes serious prayer. So if you're not, we're meeting on Tuesdays at 3:15 right now. You can come to our prayer meeting right here. You can also, we're thinking as time at the end of this month, we're going to have prayer during the adult Sunday school hour. We're going to start that up together too, because we need to pray. We have to get serious. There's so many people who are living in darkness, and they're not going to be drawn out by anything, but we need to pray. And we need to get God to help us get into their lives, or other Christians into their lives, that they can speak in their lives and walk with these people and help draw them, bring them out of that darkness into the light of Christ. So even for us, we need to examine ourselves. We had our communion today. You know, God, you know, we're asked to examine our own hearts. You know, examine our hearts. Where are we? Allow His light, His Word, to expose whatever we haven't given to Him yet. It's not of Him. To just expose that and to humbly come before Him, confessing and allowing Christ to bring healing there and help us walk more in His light. Get that flashlight off out there. Get up on those rocks and look for those crevices in your own heart. Scary. That snake jumps out at you sometimes. It does. It does for me. It gets scary, but you know what? We can turn it to the Lord. We are victorious in Christ. He is our victory. We can turn it to Christ just by confessing and believing and allowing Him to take it and just keep on moving on in victory and being a comfort and an encouragement to the people around us that are dealing with the same thing. See, that's what we're supposed to do. Not, we don't have to say, hey, you're doing this, but you're doing this, what can I do to help you? How can I walk with you? How can I pray for you? I got some scripture to read with you. That's what it's going to take. Let's pray before we go on. Lord Jesus, thank You again. You are an awesome example. You did not stop. You kept on moving and moving and moving. Thank You that You did that for us, Lord Jesus. You didn't allow unbelief or threats or mockery or whatever take You away from that great mission that You had to come and die for us willingly. Lord Jesus, how amazing is Your love. And even more amazing than that, not just your death, but your awesome resurrection 3 days later that we celebrate, and we have victory in you because of this, Lord Jesus, that you have defeated our greatest foes, Satan and death. Thank you, Jesus. Bless us. Bless this word that we heard today. Help us remember what you need us, what you have us to remember, and to take it forth to be that we can walk in your light. You have something for us to do. There are greater things yet to come because of who you are as we follow you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pray this all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.